discussing issues of everyday issues which involve maybe Gezel. And last week we dealt in detail the topic of queues, lining up, and all the halakhas pertaining to that. And this week we're going to discuss issues to do with Sudoka. Now, what was the case that we were discussing? Let's remind everyone the case. The shaila was like, this is the case of basically. Reuven collects stock every year from a particular gevir, osher, a rich person in America. And the previous year, that person had given him $100,000 in worth in stock. So the Reuven was expecting to get the same contribution this year. So he came back to the Oshir, and the Oshir told him, this year hasn't been so good for him. And markets are down, income's down, and therefore I'm only able to give you $30,000 this year. Reuven was shocked, taken aback, expecting to get $100,000, and now he's only with a $30,000 potential. But Reuven, being Reuven who he is, was very persistent, and he tried his hardest to convince the Oshir to up the sum to $100,000, and he wouldn't take no for an answer. Eventually, the Oshir gave him a check for $100,000. People have this talent. Now, he left, Reuven left with the 100,000 check, and people around the Oshir at the time were very interested in why he gave in to the stocker, the Reuven. Why did he give 100,000? He only prepared to give 30. So he said, don't worry, I just gave him the check to get rid of him. Even if he cashes the check, it will bounce because there's only $90,000 in the account.
Is that itself the kind of stuff? Is that itself the kind of this?
What did Reuven do? Reuven went to the bank and he presented the check, and the people behind the counter did something very naughty. They said, there's no point us cashing this check, there's not enough coverage here, there's only 90,000 in the account, it won't cover the check. Reuven said, okay, give me back the check. Now Reuven goes to his friend and says, can I borrow $10,000 for you? I'll give it back to you tomorrow. So Reuven borrows $10,000 from his friend. He deposits it inside the Oshir's bank account. Then he presents the check, and he's now withdrawn all the $90,000 plus the $10,000 he put in, and he gave back those $10,000 to his friend. The gevir wakes up. The following day, he analyzes his account, he sees a zero, he sees what's been happening in the last few years, he works out that the Avram, the Reuven, the stocker person, did not do as he expected. He was much cleverer than he thought. So now, he takes him to Beis Din and tells him, I said, what claim? You stole from me $60,000, or $90,000. I was only winning maybe $30,000, and I want that money back. Your guns. Reuven answers. He says, "Look, I did you a favor. You didn't have enough coverage. I gave you coverage, and the opposite. You owe me $10,000 still because it was a $100,000 check. So, who is right?" Who's not right is the stocker person, Tucker Gunn, in such a serious scenario or not. So everyone's had a bit of time to think about this. What is first response? Thoughts about the matter?
It really depends on what a check is. The Lachori, he has the right to stop the check to begin with.
Why?
So he really
why
doesn't
does he have the right to stop the
He didn't give him the money.
Check.
He gave him a check.
A promise.
No, a check is not a promise.
It's in America.
What's a check?
It's not a promise. Well,
it's money.
It's an order to someone who owes you money to pay somebody else money.
If he's Israeli, he expects to be paid the money.
it's money. The check
you
is
may
money.
Expect it, but it doesn't mean it's going to get it.
You can't cancel a check.
So go both ways.
Why don't you give a check?
Don't take a position. Hello?
Not America.
Don't take a position. Go both ways. Assuming you're right and assuming you're wrong. Let's go both tracks. And
okay.
Let's assume...
It really depends on what the check is. I don't know.
Partially. But let's assume that the guy who gave the check, it's Gnevis Das. He wrote the thing. He gave it to him willingly. What he had in his mind, I don't care, Hoshimishtar, what you have in your mind.
That is, Gnevis Das doesn't affect his right to cancel a check.
No.
Is
it? Did he cancel the check?
No, but he had the, since he had the right to, it means... He didn't really give him any money.
But he did give him a check.
He gave him a shtar.
And he knows the check can be transferred to a third party.
What? He gave him a shtar with
those. The checks can be transferred to a third party. And besides, he didn't call the bank. He didn't call the bank.
No, I understand that. All I'm saying is that the fact that he has the right to cancel the check means it's not as if he gave him money.
Every time you make a deal with someone, you could say, I'll change my mind.
No, he didn't make a deal. This is not a deal. There's no consideration here.
Okay. Let us start the Shaila in a slightly different direction as what's been discussed over here. And maybe we'll get to this discussion at some stage.
And by the way, I'm already convinced he's right.
Convinced I'm right yet.
I think your shtick is your son.
Can you force someone to do something when you know they're doing it under duress? Now, he claimed that it was under duress that he gave $100,000. That Reuven refused to leave his house until he got $100,000. This is the only way he could get rid of him, by giving the $100,000. Something that is given under duress, is that a valid transaction or not?
It depends. I don't think that's called duress. Depends. Is duress and is duress. He's just pushing salesman. You can't say every time.
Had you written a check for $90,000, then you could claim I did under duress. You full well on $100,000.
Why did he give the check?
Because he knew that he tried to cash it out.
Why did he give the check of $100,000?
It was the easiest way to get rid of him.
It's the way you get rid of him. So
It's not the only way.
Why am I giving it? It's because out of duress, I'm giving this money in order to get rid of you.
That's not duress, though.
You are irritating me. How do I get rid of
you? Irritating is not duress.
Give me the $100,000.
The rest is where your head is.
Okay, yeah. So we'll see. So the
that's a real deal.
What's that?
The rest.
Says the Gemara and Baba Basra Daf Mem like this. Amar Rava Hilchasa Tzeluya Bezobin Zvina Zvina.
That's the rest.
Rava says the halacha is you hang somebody up and says, sell me your house. Yeah. For the correct price, then, and he agrees because he's being hanged up.
Well, that's come on.
It's a valid sale. It's a good transaction.
But you said for the correct price.
The price is going right.
Market value. Okay.
The market value. It's a valid transaction.
Because that's price come on. That's what it is.
So, why is that true? Firstly, why is that true? What's the understanding behind Rob in the Gemara? That you hang somebody up and sell me your house, and it's a valid transaction.
Because other people are relying on it, they gotta finish it at some point if other people are relying on it.
So you're saying, look, a good lawyer answer, but not the true shot.
I suspect it's because he was Gomer Daitel, being that he didn't want to get killed, that since he's getting the money anyway, I'll go through with the sale. I'm not losing anything.
He got that.
I'm not losing my life.
You wouldn't sell it, even if your life was at stake. You wouldn't sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you did is a good sale.
No, but that's not a reason to die.
So, you showed him explain that the reason why is that really, that's when anybody sells anything of theirs, it's always they're not doing it with the proper Gemiris Das. Because why are you selling it? Because I need the money. I would like to keep it, but I need the money. Every sale, it has an element of duress involved in it. Therefore, when you are also physically threatened as well, it doesn't take away from the sale.
If you have somebody as a retail store, he wants nothing more than to get rid of this stuff.
Yes.
He wants to convert it into cash.
Yes. But somebody has a private item and he puts it up on the listings. I want to sell this. Why? Because he needs the cash. Not because he really wants to sell it, and then, but still a valid sale. So
but
we see that selling objects doesn't need to have proper
gemurah. The Torah says every time you sell something, you have tarata. Everybody, the guy who bought it, we're not talking about a business. We're not talking about a business. We're talking about a private sale. Business obviously wants to sell it. But nobody sells it to a man.
Very pleased.
So therefore, unless you speak out specific tanoim or conditions or statements that you're not selling it, you sell it, it's a sale, even if you say, well, it's under jurors.
That's what you have to protest.
Yes.
Somehow.
Now, what's the halacha with a matana? Now, before we get to that, was he under jurors over here? In our case.
I don't think so.
Was he under duress?
Yes.
Was he being hanged up?
No, he wasn't.
Can I ask a question?
What?
How many jurors? Maybe he had a chazaka. Maybe he had a duress. How many years has he been giving money to this guy?
The first year was the previous year. 100 chassids. 1 year.
And if it had been the third year.
What's on the hunt telling somebody to go out
of the house?
If you do something that doesn't happen. Give
me
something he doesn't have.
Yes,
yeah,
so?
He has 90%.
Why should he be back in close? I don't have it. Just because you give me a hard time, forget the concept of the check. Just give me something he doesn't have.
He has 90,000 of it.
Yeah, so?
So, in his das...
He gave a check. Yeah?
That shows he...
There's no kisui for
it. Today there's no kisui. That next week there may be a kisui.
Oh, he has other property.
That was discussion. He was giving something
this? Why? So why is he giving it? So why was he giving it?
Get rid of him.
Before we, why is he giving it? So get rid of him. Is that called duress?
Yeah, but he,
that
yes.
It's a valid in the first place.
Yes.
Is that called duress?
Depends if the guy was really...
There is a guy here who sometimes comes by where you'd almost be willing to give $1 million to him. But generally it's not duress. Okay, you're going again.
So, people...
Why is it not duress? What do you need to be duress?
Hanged up, maybe. I tell you the why that it doesn't seem to be maybe duress. It's because people afterwards asked him, why do you give it?
It wasn't obvious.
It wasn't an obvious situation, maybe. More than that. Okay, so let's say it's not duress. So therefore, for sure it's valid. Yeah.
Sure,
it's a valid giving.
Well, am I
give me a check.
So
you have to cover at some stage. Yes.
Well, that's what's a question.
Before we get into that,
if you'd got up and opened the front door,
he could have got rid of him. It wasn't clear that it was distressed. Now, what's the halacha with a matana? If you hang somebody up and say, sell me this, I'm hanging you up. You said it's valid. It's not duress? For sure it's valid. What's the din with a maton? A
duress
present.
Sorry, there's no das mark.
When you force somebody to give a present. If you force somebody to give a present, what's that?
That's called getting with
joy. Yes, okay.
Every one of my wife's
birthdays. Of course he can't. Nah.
He changes mind with my friend.
No, that's Gezel. High Gezel is give me your money or I'll shoot.
How much do we need to know in order to work out that the matana is not a good matana? What do we need to have in the scenario to work out that the present you're giving is not a good present?
He's not giving it.
We have to know that there is duress, that we don't need to know there's duress.
Well, no, there has to be something compelling you against your will.
How? Okay, you're saying a matana which is given under duress is not a good present. How much do we have to see from this scenario to work out that you didn't give it properly with gemiras das?
You mean how much duress does there have to be?
We know that presents have to be given complete gemiras das. Any type of duress, is not a bad present. What is good enough for us to work out that's, oh, over here, he didn't really give the present the leiv shalom.
How much the rest does there have to be then?
With iron ra, or iron toiv. Gig with iron ra.
Almost every matana.
So number two, if you look at number two. Hanose matana machmas onus. Somebody gives a present because he's been forced. She obviously it's an ena matana. He's been forced to give. It's not a good present. Afilo kibo olov achrayes nechosim shayiv, when he writes a document, it's not valid. Afilo ena mosim adar, even if he doesn't tell people he doesn't want to give it, but we see from the scenario that he's giving it because he's an onus, it's still not a good matana. Im yudina onus ena matana, if we know that it's not belayed sholem, that he's not giving it properly, then it's not a good matana.
So in our case,
lefichach, therefore, most of us are time if somebody says I don't want to give a present, you say we're going to write a document that you never intended to give the present, and it's not a valid present. So I feel a host of a dar sheker, because even if he wasn't under duress, given shegil of data, all he has to do is reveal to us she'ena chovitz matana, that he doesn't want to give it. How is there butler? Then it's not a good present.
Is that before or after the act? Is that before?
Before we ask your question, let's clarify to everyone what we're saying over here. We're saying over here that somebody gives a present, even if it's not under duress, but he shows us that he doesn't want to really give it, that's good enough for us to say that it's not a valid present.
Okay, but that's not our case. Because nobody saw it, nobody understood it.
So is it our case or not? Did he show that he didn't want to give this present any type of inclination, well, that he didn't want to give this present or not?
He originally showed he didn't, but then he changed his mind. He said, I'm only giving you $30,000, and they said, okay, I'll give you $100,000.
That doesn't show
he knew the check and balance,
and therefore he obviously didn't have the intent to give it. But we see that he didn't intend to give it before he gave the check, only after he gave
the
check.
People asked him.
Is it before or after what?
Before he gave the check.
Before he gives the check? Or before the bank pays him?
Before he gives the check, did we see any indication that he didn't want to give the check?
No, we did not, because otherwise people would have asked him.
People asked him, why did he give it?
When did they ask him?
Just after.
After the check.
Right. So that shows
not before the check. Before he gave the check, we did not have any indication that he didn't want to give it. Only after he gave the check, did we find out that he didn't really want to give it? He was only doing it to get rid of him.
Now let's go back to his point. Well, his point was a good point. Until he takes that check to the bank, why can't he revoke it?
He can revoke it.
He can.
He can revoke it, but he didn't revoke it to the bank.
But he could.
Well, wait a minute. It's an interesting question, because You're right that there was no indication before he gave the check that he didn't want to do it. However, after he gave the check, we discover an indication l'machreya that he didn't want to give it. That because he knew in advance that it wasn't a good check.
So let me just put it in other words. I give somebody a present, and after I gave the present, I tell everybody that I didn't really want to give it. Is that good enough to say the present's not valid?
But that's not, because we see nothing that existed before that shows before you gave it, you didn't want to give it. However, now we see that there was never money in the account. So we knew at the point that you gave the check that there was an indication.
No, because you didn't put the other tenant anymore, or the bank has dealt with it for so long.
What do you say, Yervi? I see you want to talk.
Say it again.
This is the argument saying I don't want to give it.
And then he said, okay, I'll give it.
That was
indication that you didn't want to give at that stage.
He said, I give you 30, I don't want to give you 100.
Oh, he wasn't giving him 30 at this point.
Why didn't he use this? He used to get a guy. If he really wanted to stop it, call the bank and say, stop the check.
Yeah.
The opposite.
There was a reason.
We got indication that even though afterwards he told people he didn't want to give, but he didn't actually go ahead and cancel the check. Maybe that should say he changed his mind again. Maybe he said, okay, I'm going to give it.
Not really. Because this guy, like most Jewish Gemirim, doesn't want to pay the $15 to stop the check.
When he wrote the check, that's
yes.
Did he have to ask for the guy to cash it?
We don't know. He told us afterwards that no. He had no intention.
Check for money he doesn't have.
In the bank at this present moment in time.
Correct. Did he post-date the check?
No.
Okay. He had no intention of having to cash the check.
Correct.
You know,
he didn't
have any
intention.
How do we know that?
Would you write a check?
I do all the time.
Is it called IOU or not?
We're going to see that.
I do.
There's your answer.
Now.
It's common. Even in the States, it's common.
So. Let's now move on to the third. We've talked about selling things that under duress it's valid. We talked about giving a present under duress, it's not valid. What about stopping? Can you force somebody to give stopping? If we force somebody to give stocker.
Talk American.
So the Shulchan Aruch in Yoritzer says that
you can't force them to give to a particular tzedakah.
Shulchan Aruch says like this.
Well, you don't give a
bit in
somebody's name.
Yeah. Somebody who gives tzedakah less than what he should be giving, based in Hoyim Kofin Oso, Umakim Oso, Basin will force him, hit him, Marcus Martins, with lashes, Achi Yitin Marsha Omdolitin, until he gives what he's supposed to be giving.
But the best thing has to decide what he has to give. Not the buzz, not the person who's collecting that stucco.
Okay, now we're in the basin.
Yeah,
now we're in the basin, and the basin will have the shine in front of them. You forced him to give, let's say you forced him to give this stock. Is it valid or not? Let's decide whether you, as an Oshir, should be giving this amount of tzedakah or not. Let's see all your assets and all your bank accounts and all the profit that you made in this year. Maybe, therefore, you should be giving this amount of money, and therefore it's maybe a valid giving of the tzedakah. Now that we're in Basin, let's mevarech that maybe you are a person who should be giving this amount of money.
There's two reasons why not. A, I could give it later in the year, I don't have to give it right now. B, I can give it to someone else, I don't have to give it to this schlepper.
This is a he's collecting money for yeshiva, yes? And that is one of the highest.
I give it to another yeshiva.
You've been giving it to me last year, so I expect to miss it.
That's a different time.
Because you gave it to me last year, yeah. And I'm expecting it this year, and I therefore are relying on you more than any other tzedakahs which you may want to transfer that money. So let's work out if you are a type of person who should be giving this amount, and if I'm a person who is royal and receive the stock on the level of who comes first, then it should be, if you work out that you should be giving, that I should be receiving, then it should be a valid transaction, even if you were forced to give the stock.
Doesn't create a zika by the fact that you need it. That doesn't entitle you to it, the fact that you need it. A basin is, it can force him to give tzedakah in general.
Right,
they very rarely force
I'm
him to give this guy.
There's halakhas in who you're supposed to give tzedakah to. Yes?
Well,
you can't decide not to give one person, the other person, if there's, in, like we learned last week, there's a list of reference. So let's say in basin, Mavara, maybe he comes up as in this category on the top of the list. He's very close to the top of the list. It is Aniyim, Eretz Yisrael, and it's people who learn Torah. all three. If now you've got those three, that's pretty high on the list. You have all three.
That's irrespective.
The only thing that really comes before that is your own relatives.
You wanted to give the guy money. You wanted to give the money. You didn't say I'm not giving you money.
So you should be giving 19,000 because that's looking at
the
your
fact that he gave him a check. That has nothing to do with the check that he gave.
I forced you.
It's another deal.
You don't have the right to force me.
I took it now basically to decide whether the forcing was right.
The forcing is body not good. Only basically
we called in a CPA to give him
the other deal is
evaluation.
That you very well get a lot of chalakim and giving all of it to workers. So, if the Bezdin takes it to a parent, then he wants to give to another initiative and other organizations or whatever, however you want to do it. This case doesn't sound to me like a case that the Bezdin can do rescue in the Vatana more than he chooses, to whom he chooses, because he can answer the Bezdin.
Remember, I'm relying on you. That's a very important factor.
Why is that a factor?
I'm relying on you.
You can't what? Rely on only one time.
I'm relying on you.
Why is that a factor with Chal?
That's an additional factor.
If you have a chazaka, I hear it. Okay. There's no chazaka here. I'm relying on you.
Okay, so let's analyze if the whole concept is correct in the first place. Says the Gemara in Sukkah.
What number?
Number 4. Bishvil abad boram nichse palabatim nimsorim lemalchus. 4 things a person does, and the result is he's going to get an onesh that his possessions were given over to the government.
You're talking about malchus as well, or
both the same?
Halach?
Not halachic. It's going to happen. It's an onesh. What basin are going to do it? Maashu stars purim. Somebody who keeps in their house documents which have already been paid for. And you keep them around. Dangerous documents that can be claimed again. Amalva beribis. Somebody lends beribis interest. Asher sapik liotan limchos lomichos. Somebody could object about somebody doing an avera. Stop somebody doing avera and he doesn't stop people doing avera.
Oh, you mean for me a punishment?
Yes. But asher poskim stoker barabim ve'enosin. Somebody who's posting stock of a rabbin and doesn't give. What does that mean?
It's a pledge.
Says the Marsha. Hainu, that is. Bale batin manhigya kihila. That is the geboim of the shul. Who posts in stock of a rubber. Who give pledges that we're going to give money to stocker. The einosun kulu. And they don't give it. Sha'omen, because they say shlohoydat and lakach el bishulachem. They're only bidding such high bids in order to encourage other people to bid those high bids. Shidit the novice koroi. So says the Masha that if you have a situation that you have a gabai of the shul who now was sending aliyahs, Yom Kippur, we want to encourage people to give very high amounts of money. How do we do it? We've got a pretense which some shuls use. Some shuls, some of these shuls use these patents. What's the patent?
We're getting somebody to make
that we have one of the Gaboyim arrangers. That's for what the first aliyah. There's somebody who bids enormous amount of money. But it's all bluff.
For the show.
It's all a bluff to encourage that the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth aliyah also reaches higher amounts. Yes. Says the Masha, that's nichnis under this din. Says the Masha, that's the case in Sukkah. That's the case in Sukkah, where the onus for that person is that all his possessions will now be given over to the government.
What does
the
guy do with this thing, though?
The Masha is saying, if he says after, oh, that's the reason I did it. What you're saying is that the plan is not fair like that. He's saying after, oh, I only did it to somebody else.
Somebody who pledges a pledge,
if I go,
in order as a bluff,
if I do not, that's how it says.
A bluff pledge. A bluff pledge, there is an onus that he's going to be given over all his nechosim to the market. A bluff pledge.
That's what it says.
But,
it's
what he says.
After he kind of goes the bluff.
No.
If he goes in
the
bluff.
No. And he tells the guy, boy, I'm in the room. Manhigi Akehila, the leaders of the Kehila.
After this thing. If they were saying the check, maybe it would be okay.
What, if they say in advance?
To the wrong look, I'm going to pretend to smile and not really lie.
That doesn't help, saying that.
What?
Who do they say in advance? Maybe it's a basin that will help. That's not a basin. Look. So you see from here, that you can't force people, firstly, you can't force people to give stocker.
Why do you see from here?
Because why is he doing this? What's the reason why he gets this onus? If he does this content. What's the reason why it's wrong for him to do this? What's the reason?
Well, one thing, he's over at Bayat El Dvaro.
Is the reason because he is forcing, so to speak, other people to give stocker, and therefore with his patent, and that's the thing that's wrong, and therefore that's his onus, or it's because he promises something and he doesn't fulfill his words? What is the reason why over here that he's getting this onus? Is it because he's doing this patent to force other people to give stocker, which they never would have given?
Not forcing them, he's encouraging them.
Or is it the reason is because he's not keeping his words?
Because where's the oinus over here? People don't have to. They don't have to. It's not oinusing anybody. It's really not anything. He's not annoying them. So what kind of level of oinus is? There's no oinus.
He's making them embarrassed.
He's using their guy. They just did it for guy.
If that were the case, then it would be the same halacha even if he actually gave it to them.
Okay, so everyone is right. If you look at the Gor and Mishnah, he says like this. Sabdi is noita lehetish. Number 5. Sabdi the stalker habi kenoita lehetish. Sabdi pledges something to stalker, it's like to giving it to the Beit HaMikdash. And it comes under the concept of motzes of the sefer tishmo. Says, pepichos lu stalker. This is stalker. Why, says the Gor, why does it say in the Pasuk Sefasecha Ksiv below the Shuncha? Why does it say Sefasecha and not the Shuncha? Pirish Hagra Pasuk to the Shuncha Huba Kavona. The Shuncha means your intentions, but Sefasecha Habi Min Hasaf and the Chutz, from how you speak below Kavona, even without intentions. Says the Gon, the Pshat in Stalker is, you always have to give the Stalker which you speak out, even if it's clear that your intentions is not for this. Whatever you pledge in your word, even if it's clear that your intentions is not for it, you have to give to the Stalker, because we always go after your words, not your Kavana. So therefore this patent says the poskim of these Gaboim is also from this Gemara in Sukkah to do. The patent is also to do because of this Gemara in Sukkah. But we have no right from here that you can't force people to give stocker. You're allowed to force people to give stocker. Or encourage them to give, embarrass them to give stocker. You can't hit them, basin can hit. But you can do things to encourage, to put pressure on them. That's the word, pressure on them to give tzedakah, and that's still valid. It's not onus. So if you pressurize somebody to give tzedakah and he gives it, he has to give it, and it's a valid tzedakah.
Well, wait, what do you mean he has to give it?
Once it comes out of his mouth, he has to give it.
Oh, if he said he's going to give it. He didn't say he's going to give it here. He just wrote him a check.
Okay, 100,000.
If he said it, that's a different story. But he didn't say anything yet.
So no, he's writing the check, like saying that you're giving the tzedakah.
He's writing the tzedakah.
It's writing the check, like saying that you're giving tzedakah now that you have to give.
No. It's even stronger. Why? Sometimes things slip out of the mouth, but when you sit down and write a $100,000 check.
What do you think?
It's not an edder.
Do you think?
Why is it not a stamp?
Writing not a check is like a stamp.
It doesn't matter. It's not an edder.
It's pledging with your words, tzedakah or not.
It's stronger than anything.
So says the note of Yehuda, not over here. that somebody who writes down in a document a loshen of a shavua is as if he said the shavua, and he has to keep it. If he doesn't, he gets all the ochim of being over on the shavua.
And you know why?
Because writing is like
it's even more.
A pledge. We're saying writing is like speaking words. So it's like a neder, pledge to tzedakah. So if it's like a pledge to tzedakah, even if we know your intention is not to give the tzedakah, you still have to give it.
Even if you pass him like Novi Yehuda, that has nothing to do with the instant case, because he didn't write that he's going to give $100,000. He just directed the bank to give this guy.
Getting back to your original points, what does that mean? We'll get there. What does that mean? So at this stage, we're holding that even if you say that there was a idea here that he was being forced, but at the end of the day, he pledged to the tzedakah, and therefore he has to keep what he pledged. Now, let me ask you this question. Now we're talking about tzedakah. Can I go collecting for one tzedakah? And really, that's I say I'm collecting for Hachnosis Kala, and really I'm not collecting for Hachnosis Kala. I'm collecting for the yeshiva. But why did I say Hachnosis Kala? Because I know I'm going to get more money by saying Hachnosis Kala. Am I allowed to do that or not? Or is that gezel for doing such a thing?
No, it's
gezel,
but maybe
that's gezel. That's gezel, Gnevus Das, not mutter.
Yeah, but if you go back to the case where you need to feed a guy to give stuff, it's
It really depends. If I would be allowed to be Mashana for that tzedakah after I already collected for the other one.
What's the guy losing?
Could probably do
he's giving the tzedakah.
Anyway.
Who cares what he goes to? He goes to the tzedakah.
The guy may care what he goes to.
But yeah,
I
we
say
just
I'm
stole,
collecting for
we just say
color, but no, I'm not, because I'm saying that in order to get more money.
So I don't know what the law is. If it's mutter to be Mishana money you collected from across the scholar to give to yeshiva, then
it's not mutter to be Mishana.
It's not mutter to be Mishana?
No.
Only.
There are certain things in mutter to be Mishana.
Certain though. Things.
Okay, not yet.
So says the Sefer Chassidim like this, number 6. Maisa Be'ish Echot, the story of a man in the middle of the first line. Shohoi Talmud Chochom, he was a great Talmud Chochom. He didn't need money, he could support himself. And he went to people and he said, give me money because I need the money. But he didn't, he was lying. What did he do? He received the money and gave it to the poor people, even though he was collecting for himself.
He was lying.
Yes, to give to Aniyim. Because you're also Aniyim, Hokim, and Bakish, or Inosim. Why did you do this? Because if the poor people went themselves, no one would give them. And if the Talmud Chacham says, give me because I want to give to the poor people, also they would not give. So the only way he could get their money is by saying, give it to me because I need it. You know, Selim, Ki Omer, Mutav Shani Mavashes, that's where Omer Shani, Chosse Kadesh Osaslim. So he says, I did this because it's better for me to be embarrassed in order that these Aniyim have something to live from. So we see from here, you can collect for one source.
Are you saying that was okay?
Even although, yes, he's saying this is a might of a Chosse Dekos. That you can collect for one charity, even although you're giving it to another charity.
No, because he's saying, give me the money for me. So then he can give it to my partner for somebody else. But if you tell me, give me money for today's base tefillin, and you give the money to me. But so look at this. But if you ask, give the money to me, then I can, it's mine, and now I can give it to whoever I want. That's not the same thing as giving from
it's
one person
nice
to
point.
Another.
It's a very, very good point. That's an excellent point.
What's that?
No, wait a minute. Because once he gets the money, it's his. He can do whatever he wants.
Well, not really, because he got it under deception.
Listen, he got it under deception.
Yeah,
he
doesn't need it. He doesn't need it.
He said, give it to me.
He didn't say he was protecting from
himself.
He got it.
That's his need.
That's his need.
That's not what Ani Tzorich means, though.
If you swap them around, it's easier than saying, give it to the company, we'll use them on our time.
You know what? That's a
How about the other way around?
Says Rav Bosna. Look at number 7.
Does he agree with me?
And
he quotes you.
He says like this. Shame, hear me. Mad is so clear. In mutter nigno das a bris was there. The mavakish over hachnosis color veinushol el vishilt over acha. Are you allowed to steal the das of people by asking for hachnosis color and really only giving to something else? But also nigno das a bris. You can't do that. It's you're stealing their das. Come avor b'chulim. Rav the gimel d'vorm mutter l'shanis. Only 3 things are you allowed to lie. And this is not one of them. V'im hoyer zeh min ha'inyin shekofen al stoka. If it's one of those matters that we can force you to give stoka for, and there's no way of getting it from you only through this, maybe it's permitted. But if it's not, it's not permitted.
Can they force it?
Says Rav Bosna that you're not allowed to do it. So what's the chat in the Gemara? So everyone says, like Yemi.
In which Gemara?
How do you like that?
Well, in the Sefer Chassidim.
Oh.
That's good.
The Sefer Chassidim, that there he wasn't asking for a specific sock. He said, give it to me, I need it. What do you need it for? You need it for, I need it. Today I understood he meant it for himself.
Yeah,
he said, I need it to fulfill the mitzvah of giving stocker to Aniyim because they need it.
He's still going to have his das though, because he knows what they think he means and he's intending for them to think that.
No, stocker so nevis das. They are mater es atzmechen.
The what?
They are tricking themselves.
Why are they tricking
they
themselves?
Because they didn't mabara the Inyan. He's not saying any words there which are wrong. Like in the story of Yaakov Levin.
That was Gnevus Das. It was just the lesser of
no,
the less, the least lie he could make.
Rashi says it's not a step up when we get into
no
Sheker. This is a Sheker. So therefore, what are we concluding over here? We're concluding is that you cannot trick people into giving stocka to one source and end up being for another source. You're not allowed to trick people into giving stocker for one source and using it for another source. You're not allowed to do that. That's awesome. So therefore, if you're coming back to our case, we're left with one issue. You're not allowed to force people to give stocker under misleading pretenses. Beis Din have that korach to direct where that stocker goes. Fine. But we have one issue left, and that is you pledge to this stocker. It's not like I asked for Hachnasa's color and I, in the end of the day, I gave it to yeshiva. I asked for yeshiva and you get, and you pledge to the yeshiva. You wrote a check. That's a pledge. If you pledge something, even if we know you didn't mean it, it should be chayav to do what you pledge. It's a nefesh to stocker, and therefore it's too late. You're given it. Not only that, who says we don't even know over here that really you were giving it under duress at all? So that we only found that out after you gave the check. So therefore, for 2 reasons, we should say for sure he can keep the money. 2 reasons. One is he gave the check and we only found that afterwards he didn't really want to give it. That's much too late. And secondly, even if we know beforehand that he didn't mean to give it, but Lamaise, he spoke out by writing the check that he wants to give to this stocker, and that should be forced him to give it to this stocker in itself.
Yeah, the third reason is that he might have changed his mind again and given it.
Yeah.
Because he didn't withdraw.
He didn't cancel the check.
So therefore...
Does he owe the 10,000?
Wait, we didn't finish the 90,000 yet.
Now the bottom line of this is a chiddush from Rav Nissen Koretz. And he says like this: what is a check?
Oh.
What is a check? Gezer had check number 8 b'halacha. What is the status of a check in halacha? Nira she'ena nidan lo keshova kesef. It's not like money. V'gam lo shtachov. It's not like a pledge. Shahari Kishin is bonum by Muhusa check, because if you look at how a check is made up, what is written there? Near Sha'ena Mekha Batoka Ella Bakurtona Mabalakesh Manam Nabak. It's only a message from the person who has the account to the bank. Instructions to the bank. That's all it is. Lahabim Mechesbonu Lamotifa, maybe to instructing the bank that whoever produces this paper should get money. It has no words inside that check that says I'm obligating myself to this person. I'm not saying I'm obligating myself to this person. I'm just instructing the bank to give money to this person. Mahai Tama, therefore, Nira, Chanosa Matona Lachabea check. Somebody gives us a present, a check to somebody. Kol Od Shalo Lo Moshach Es Kaspo. If he hasn't withdrawn the money, Api Dintura Biata Nosa Nadai Lachabo Levatos a check. He's allowed at that stage to retract and not say, I'm not giving you money. Because there's no deal between us at all. From the fact that you're holding the check, there's no obligation between me and you. We have not created any deal at all. Oh, hurrah! It's just my intentions. Here's my intentions. Go to the bank. And that's my intentions. So it comes out. I just want to speak it out and then you can. Comes out. Says with Nissan Kerelitz that a check is not an obligation, is not a present, is not money, it's nothing. It's just instructions to a bank that whoever produces this should get this money. Therefore, Kolzman, that he hasn't actually gone to the bank, I can say I've changed my mind. I don't want to give the money. Therefore, even although we only found out after he gave the check that he doesn't want to give it, but that doesn't matter. It's not when you give the check which decides it's too late. When's it too late? When he's already got the money. If he's already got the money and said, I didn't want to give it, then it's too late. But Cole's money hasn't got the money. There's no obligation between me and you. I can just tell two people, Aiden, that you know what? I don't want to give the money in my bank account to him. I have had Charotza. I have no... what rots him to give it.
But he has to call the bank, because if he gets the money,
no,
he can
tell
anything.
No.
He's saying if he tells two
I have two witnesses that before he's got any money of mine, that I do not want him to get that money.
Okay. Now let me say something else.
What does it do this when he takes the money? What does that make, finish it off? Why does that, when he takes the money?
Because then I've already given him the money. He's gone to get the money, and I haven't revealed my intention.
This is only by matana. You can't do this in the sale.
Sale, I'll tell you in a second, Hansa.
You can't do that in the sale.
Says all the poskim and Eretz Yisrael don't hold like Rav Nissen. They do not hold like Rav Nissen. They hold that checks is an obligation.
You mean specifically in Eretz Yisrael?
So the poskim say, we don't hold it Rav Nissen, Gerelitz, and this. We hold that a check is an obligation. So therefore it should be too late.
That's specifically Eretz Yisrael or outside Eretz Yisrael too?
Now all the poskim say this only applies in Eretz Yisrael. In America, checks are different from Israeli checks. Why? What's the difference?
No third party.
In America, you give a check, generally you can't pass on. Even if you can pass it on, because you leave it blank, even if you can pass it on, but you can always cancel it, and there's no you're allowed to cancel checks in America. You're allowed to cancel
without repercussions.
Unless you have old interrogation. In Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to cancel checks. There's all sorts of cancel checks. And if you do cancel checks, they can go to Hosat Lapol and get the money from the bailiffs from that check. Without you being there even. You're not allowed to cancel checks. So therefore, checks in Eretz Yisrael is considered as obligating yourself once you give the check. Check in America is just a instructions to the bank. That's all it is. And since, therefore, this case is talking about American check in America, therefore the halacha here was he wasn't entitled to get the $90,000. And therefore he has to give the money back.
But he got the money.
He had the passion to get $10,000 and he lost.
That guy, I don't understand. Wait,
and he lost.
I don't understand. Wait, let's talk about it. He went to Beis Din. He got the money.
He took the money illegally, says Mason, because it was already revealed before he took the money that the guy doesn't want to give you his money, and you took it against his will.
So in other words, saying to Adin is sufficient protest, and he didn't have to take the next step of calling the bank. That's what
yes.
you're saying.
Yes.
Does he have to give all back, or just...
He has to give back the whole 90,000 that he took. He has to give back the whole 90,000 he took. Because,
I assume he did not.
Because it wasn't...
What about the 30,000 that he was expecting?
So I don't want to give you the 30,000
now. Because
you did what you did, you're not even going to get the 30,000.
He's considered a gazman.
He's considered a...
He can't do Aedis anymore?
No, he's not considered a gazman because he thought he was doing something. He's not considered a gazman because he thought he was doing something which was permitted. So you never consider a gazman in such a case.
Like people
shave. They're allowed to be witnesses, says Rabbi Akiva Eger. Because people think it's mutter to shave. Yeah? Says Ricky Vega. Yeah. Now, here's homework for next week.
So if the case had taken place in Eretz Yisrael, the guy would get the $10,000 also.
Yes.
Wow.
Now.
You're going to go to Aiden.
Strange.
Warn your client.
Next year will be in 2 weeks' time because next week is Hanukkah.
Yes, so. You have to stay home? You have to
learn with your in-laws. You have to learn with your wife and your in-laws and your children. I'll pay but also in this. Women are also in this. Yes. Now, but you can think about this Shiloh, because this Shiloh, 2 weeks' time, is still Hanukkah, it's the last night, so you can be here in 2 weeks' time. So, here's the Shiloh you can think about. In honor of Hanukkah, but connected to Geneva. There is a box of 20 bottles of oil outside the Beis HaMedrash, which are being sold by somebody who put the box over there. Price of those bottles is 20 shekel a bottle. There's a big sign, 20 shekel a bottle. Reuven comes out to the Beis HaMedrash and he's got a desperate phone call from his wife. He says, tonight, Hanukkah, I forgot to buy oil, you buy oil for me. So what does he do? He opens up his wallet and sees he's only got one shekel in. What's he going to do? So he decides to do like this. He's going to put one shekel into the box, and he's going to change the sign. Instead of reading 20 shekels, it's now going to be 21 shekels. And he takes one bottle. So if you make the cheshbon like this, there's now 19 bottles left. Times 21, you get 399 shekels. So he's missing one shekel. I give him one shekel. Got 400 shekels. How much do you want for these 20 bottles? 400 shekels. He's got 400 shekels. And I've got my bottle of oil. Everyone's laughing. So, he uses now the oil.
It's really happening.
Yes, it will happen. He uses the oil. Yes.
He wasn't yours in your
house. He uses the oil. Halfway through Hanukkah, he starts worrying, maybe I've done something wrong.
It took 4 days to get to that point.
So he comes to ask the Rav, and the Rav says, go to the basin and ask them the Shiloh. And therefore, now the Shiloh is, has he done something wrong? Is the oil his? If it's Gezel, has he been yoked to the mitzvah of Hanukkah lift at all for the last 4 nights, which he's been lighting or not?
It seems really posh, but there must be a Shiloh, so I must be.
You know who was coming out of Beis Din when he went in?
Well, the collector. it seems posh that it's Gezel. Because he took something and didn't pay for it.
He took a shekel from 20
people. He's much more than that.
What are you talking about? I don't care what the bottom. First of all, it's not true. Because now the guy could have gotten 21 shekel per bottle. Plus 20 shekel for this bottle.
No, it's much more. He's getting it from the other people. All the other